lift up her voice and give him praise, honor, and glory, bow in reverence to him, ask forgiveness, then we'll leave a different way. That's because shed blood that he was going to shed, cross, die for our sins. A lot to pray for this morning. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke. And this morning, God's going to help us learn more and more about him. Every time you open the Word of God, it's about him, about his life, what he wants us to do. Several more objects of prayer we won't have time to mention them all. But this morning we got a text that Sister Francis was headed to the hospital, the emergency room, very sick. She and her three sisters yesterday were down at the hospital, as they stayed many, many times with their brother who's in the hospital. Then Francis Wilder's in the hospital for a long time, and on the list goes, just a lot of sickness. And almost every week I say, boy, there's more people that I know that involved with their church in some way that's sick than normal. It seems like I say that the next Sunday because seemingly it gets worse. But anyway, God understands and knows the desires and longings of your heart. Every year and every time I open the Word of God and I start looking more and more about learning about Christ Jesus, remember in the book of Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There's never been a time but what God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Kids asked us, grown-ups probably are embarrassed to ask, where did God come from? Well, he's always been. There's never been a time but there hasn't been a God. But then we're told in the Word of God about his Son. So when we look this morning at God's arrangements for his Son, we're going to find that in the book of Luke. And every year I study it, I see more and more. It's not just the Word of God. It's not just tells us what happened, what's going to happen, but it paints and gives us a portrait for us. It'll help us understand that God uses us. For instance, God orchestrated, he planned, he provided for all the details, so many details, for his Son's birth into this world. And if God did that, and he will, we're going to look at a few of those this morning, some of the marvelous details, miracles he performed to have the right person at the right place to do what he wanted to do because of his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, Christ died for the sins of the world, and most people won't bow to him, but we that bowed and confessed that he is Lord of our life, then if he did all those miracles to provide for the birth and the ministry of Jesus Christ through individuals, he's seated beside the right hand of God this morning. He has called you, he has called me to carry out that work, to proclaim the goodness of God. Then God arranges our lives also. So keep in mind as we're studying how God arranged and orchestrated, planned, provided for all the details that we read in the Word of God about the birth of his Son, ministry of his Son, and the soon coming, then you and I are his servants, and he's got your life planned too. And the only problem with that is many individuals have their own life plan. But we'll notice this morning that as we're studying that God changes plans. Because Zacharias, for instance, he did not want to be any part of God's arrangements because he felt he was too old. So that's because he wanted his own life. But God can change the arrangements. Let's look quickly this morning, and we won't have time to cover them all. First of all, I want to look at how God determined that he was going to arrange someone in the lineage of Aaron. The program God had was for the priesthood to arrange and minister the things of God. And then he looked ahead of time and saw that there was Zacharias he was going to use, who had a wife, Elizabeth, who were godly people. Let's read that together in Luke chapter 1, verse 6. And they both were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Chose them, but the problem was he wanted to choose and keep going in that lineage, and they didn't have any children. won't be a problem for God because he's going to arrange it also. We'll come back to that in a little bit. But next thing I want to look at is how he directed the prophets of old to proclaim. In 742 years before Christ was born, God spoke his prophet Isaiah and told Isaiah to pin down that Christ Jesus is going to be come into the world and he'd be born of a virgin. How is God going to arrange that? Well, we're told in the book of Luke how God arranged that. But not only that, but God delighted to choose the person he wanted to have be the mother. God delights to use people. And Mary, of course, was confused, as many of us are. When God wants to use you and he wants to use me, first thing we think about, I'm not capable. How is this going to be? Mary said, I know not a man. But God has already said, I'm delighted that I have chosen you. Then I'll make all the provisions necessary. Remember, as we go through this, God's got a place for you. God's got a place for me. And if we'll listen to him, he will direct us and help us. Then the next thing we're going to look at is he delivered the message by the angel Gabriel. Now, Gabriel had already been down and saw Zacharias and told him they were going to have a son that would be the forerunner of Jesus Christ that would carry out the ministry and proclaim that Christ Jesus was coming. Now this same Gabriel was going to come back. God chose that and he defined it. And then he declared that his name would be called Jesus, Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, the great God. Then we see how he dispatched a message by the angel, not only to Zacharias, but to Joseph. When Joseph, remember he was taken Mary, his wife, to Bethlehem, because God had arranged that also. He'd already proclaimed that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Seems like that's going to be a problem, because here she is, many months pregnant, almost ready to be delivered, and God has Herod make a decree that all the world should be taxed, and the taxes must be taking place in the city of their residency. And so here they go a long distance, because God would carry that out also. And God looks ahead of time and he sees your life and mine. He's got already planned out. And he'll do what he needs to do to make sure. And we need not to be confused, because God wants you and I to be ministers of his death, burial, and resurrection. And then we see that he deployed a star. He is in control of not only your life and mine, if we'll submit to him, but God's in control of all the stars, all the planets, the earth. He set all things in motion. And so he wanted those wise men to go present gifts to his son. But the trouble was, the earthly problem was, they were in a distant land, a long way off. But yet God deployed a star. And the star appointed them, and they knew the scripture had already said that Christ was going to be born. So here they started following the star ahead of time, of course, because he wanted them there at the birth. Now, if God had arranged everything, he knew when Jesus would be born, the day he would be born, the mother, everything's arranged. So he wants them there on time, so he started them on the journey so they would arrive at the chosen time. And then after that, we're going to find out probably on Christmas Day that Christ Jesus had to be going to the temple. He was, remember, born in Bethlehem, but he had to go be circumcised and be offered in Jerusalem, about 6 miles away. And then the Bible definitely declares that after that circumcision, he goes back to Nazareth. There's no mention that he ever returned back to Bethlehem at that particular time. And then when he went back to Nazareth, God knew that Herod was going to get confused. And so he sent an angel to dispatch and say, Joseph, take her to Egypt. God provides. He directs. He plans. He orchestrates. And your life and mine ahead of time, So at the right time, we'll be found where he wants us to be. And then we'll look later on at how when he was born, the angels, they were dispatched from heaven down to a hill proclaiming. And the shepherds were told that Christ Jesus had been born. He wants them to go see Jesus. And then on the hillside, all the angels singing glory, hallelujah. Peace on earth and goodwill toward man. And then, of course, the destiny that Jesus was. He was going to a Roman cross. That's why he came. He came to die. Let's go through about seven of these this morning as quickly as we can and look at some details. God's arrangement. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 6. We read that already, that he chose. He determined that the forerunner of Christ that would be out proclaiming the Judean hillsides that Christ Jesus is going to come and that would be baptized would be John. John hadn't been born yet, but that's not a problem with God. He had already chosen and determined who would be the mother and father. So the story here tells how he arranges that. Of course, they were Elizabeth and Zacharias were just people. And verse 7 of chapter 1 of Luke says, and they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. We look at circumstances and we say, God arranged. John's going to be born. He's going to be the forerunner of Jesus. He's going to be a cousin. And he's not even born yet. Well, look at your life and mine. And God lets us see all these details. And it comes to my mind every time I read even more that God chose me. I'm not much. And if I ever amount to anything, it will be because I know what he wants me to do. And sometimes we don't want to do and we're afraid to do. But if we are, God can arrange that too. Let's keep reading in verse 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went to the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people praying without time of incense. Boy, that's a good thing, isn't it? While the priest is going in there doing what God told him to do, the people are praying. It's kind of a lost art today in most people's lives to pray. A lot of people, I'm afraid, and I'm probably one of them, no doubt, guilty, that doesn't pray enough, doesn't seem as though prayer is important as it ought to be. And think back this morning if there's ever been a time in your life that you had a desire to pray more than now, then we're in trouble with God. He can change that really quick. Verse 11 says, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Another thing we see here, it's almost every message I preach, it's a new opportunity to come out. Anything worth anything is going to be found in the house of God. Anything in your life that's important, God will declare and determine it will be concerning and surrounding the house of God. What did the angel Gabriel choose to tell and arrange this? The house of God. And we're gathered here. A lot of people don't put much importance on the house of God as they ought to. But anything's worth anything, God says, the arrangements he's already made will be centered around the house of God. And there appeared to him an angel, verse 13, but the angel said to him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shall call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go forth before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedience to the wisdom and just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And remember the story that he doesn't believe that. He doesn't accept that. I'm too old. But God's already chosen. He's already declared it. He's already proclaimed it. And because Zacharias wouldn't adhere to it, something he'd already been praying about, but now that he's come his way, then God struck him dumb. He could not speak. I know a lot of preachers that have confided in me, and you probably know some too, and not just preachers, but husbands and wives and people. Did I know God wanted this out of my life, but I wouldn't do it? And God put them on the shelf. That's exactly what he did to Zacharias. He goes to his wife, and she becomes pregnant with Elizabeth, just like God says. But he couldn't rejoice and tell anything about it. And then when John was born, God already determined what his name would be. And the friends and the family started trying to give him a name. But John says, no. Give me a pad. And when they were arguing about it, and Elizabeth said his name's going to be John, the rest of the people didn't want that, but John started writing. And when he wrote what God told him to proclaim, then his mouth was unloosed and he could speak again. And God gives us that opportunity in life sometimes. But if people keep going their way, what if John hadn't declared and accepted God's plan finally? I wonder how long God would have kept him where he couldn't speak. That's just one of the things we need to look at this morning. We need to see how God operated and God determined that John would be a forerunner of Jesus even before he got here. The second thing we want to look at is how he was delighted to choose a particular virgin, Mary. Let's turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Of course, this decision was directed through the Word of God. And anything's worth anything, God has spoken through heart through his Word. Remember, Jesus is the Word, the living Word. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, written 742 years before Christ. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Proclaiming what God had chosen through his word that Jesus would be born by a virgin. And then we see that he is delighted to choose the person, Mary. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. He knew where Mary was. He knew the right time. And God has a perfect timing for my life. I remember many times in my life that he has spoken to me and told me to do such a thing. And it had to be done when God wanted to, or else I would be put on the shelf. I'm no use to God if I can't go with his plan, what he has already determined, orchestrated. And now Mary has the opportunity. She wasn't expecting it. And many times God shows up when we aren't expecting. Remember Moses? He's out there taking care of his father-in-law Jethro's sheep. And there on the backside of nowhere, he'd already had to leave Egypt as 40 years old. And now he's out there 40 more years. And God appears in the burning bush, not in the way he had expected him to appear. But when he saw the bush was not consumed, he turned. What will it take from God to cause you and I to turn from our inactivity, from some things we haven't been concerned about, haven't been interested in? Remember, it'll be concerning and surrounding the house of God. That's where it will be. And now this burning bush. Guy's attention. He left his father-in-law's sheep. They wasn't even his. And the wolves could have come and the bears could have come. But something else is more important. Seeing what God has arranged in his life. And when he got there, remember, God spoke to him and said, take off thy shoes, thou art in holy ground. Then he told Moses what he wanted him to do. He started clamoring. I'm a man of unclear voice. I can't do it. And God sent him a helpmate, his brother Aaron, who was a thorn in his flesh many times. And God will still use the people he wants to use, even with the thorns. But wouldn't it be good if we just, yes, Lord, I'll accept what you want me to do. See, many of us already got it all planned out. We know what we want. We know pretty much when we want it. And it's all for a good cause. This is how I want to serve God and the capacity that I want. I've got it all figured out. God may have a different plan. Our ways are not God's ways. Even at 50%, but we're probably a tenth of percent, right? God's got it all figured out. Moses had no idea. Now God had chose him. God's going to choose Mary. Let's read together in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast into her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath already conceived the son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Isn't it amazing today how sinful men are trying to determine when does life begin in the womb? And they're trying to figure it out. Is it after the month, third month, when the baby gets a heartbeat, when the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary and she conceived, life began. His name was already called Jesus. Isn't that amazing? The Word of God straightens us out on every detail. However, people won't listen. But we that are saved understanding that we don't understand all that, but we know that he's God. He made a declaration. He declared it. He orchestrated it. He planned it. And I did a word study on the word overshadowed. It's not used many times in the Word of God. But when Jesus was taken, and he took James, John, and Peter upon the Mount of Transfiguration, and there a cloud overshadowed, same word. It put them kind of in a vacuum, if you will. And there, Jesus, in the visible form, lost the humanity that he had, and they could see clearly the brightness. It was so bright. It was so shiny. And then, you know what they did, like many of us do? They went to sleep. They had been taken upon a mountain, and they saw Jesus in his holiness and his righteousness. And in human form, they missed a conversation that Jesus had about his going to the cross. How many times do we miss some opportunities? When the Holy Ghost sometimes takes us in a holy place and overshadows us with his glory, with his brightness. And there, rather than falling at his feet and saying, "Thank you, Lord," we get worried, we get tired, and we seemingly go to sleep on God. Oh, but God overshadowed Mary, put him in a vacuum, and the Holy Ghost. And she conceived, and Jesus was in her womb. The destiny that's going to happen. Let's go back and look at a couple more things, and we'll be closing. In this scripture that we just read, we saw the next thing, that it was already declared that his name shall be called Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And then God's going to dispatch anything he needs and make any arrangements necessary for you and I to do what God wants us to do. When God speaks to your heart, I remember when God was calling me to preach. Me? Backward? I mean, there's never been anybody I've ever met that's more backward than me. When I was growing up, we lived on the farms around the Pisgah National Forest, a mile and a half from nowhere. And when company would come see us, which rarely took place, I didn't want to be with them. I'd go to the barn because I wanted to be a cowboy. I'd practice lassoing horses and goats and cattle. And I'd saw we got television when I was 12 years old. Yeah. We got electricity when I was 7 years old. That's amazing. And then I would see these, and that's what I was going to be. And I already had my name picked out. I liked Roy Rogers, but Rogers already taken. Roy Waldrop just don't cut a cowboy's name, but my middle name's William. So my name was going to be Roy Williams, the cowboy. That's what I wanted to do. And when company would come, I didn't want to be anywhere close by. I'm just a loner. I'd go get the cattle. Mom and Dad sent me to go get the cattle in the morning, and at night, my brother and I would rotate. And as I was going up the hillside, 12 years old, I'd bow about every third cow row up through there and talk to the Lord. Didn't want to talk to nobody else. And then God said, "I'm calling you to preach." Well, if God said, "I know what's going to happen," and I never one time says, "No, I won't." But all I said was, "God, if you'll let me know that I know that I know that I will never even think and question your call. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're God." And he did. How did he do it? I don't know. But he did. Never a thought come to me since he called me to preach. And I said, "Yes." That he didn't call me to preach. You see, God can do that for us. And then I wondered, backwoodsy, don't even like to talk to people, much less stand in front of them. Am I going to do that? I didn't question that he could, but he did. And now, you know, preparing a message is if it's before 1,000 people or 10 people. I never worry ahead of time. But the last verse of the last song, I'm next. And I still have that fear of stand because it's so important to declare what God wants me to declare. You see, he's already got it figured out. And if I don't do what he says do and proclaim what he says to proclaim and live a life pleasing before him, drastic measures can happen. And it's such an important thing for you and I to understand and know that all the arrangements that we see and we understand about his birth, about his ministry, we are in that plan. 2,000 plus years later, he's in heaven on the right side of the Father. But he's coming soon. He wants you and I to live a life pleasing before him, so others can see Christ in us, so they can see the change he made in their life. We heard a beautiful song. When you see Jesus, you won't leave like you came. And I've said many times before, I love church. Church should be a place of celebration, of worship, of giving honor and praise. And when we do that with all our heart, we leave the congregation different than when we came. And a lot of people struggle with that. In one regard, they go to churches that's filled with hatred and sometimes bitterness and confusion. And it's just a simple, I'm very simplistic. To me, it's so simple. If you go to church and you go to worship and adore him, and you leave feeling worse than when you came, might be time to start looking around. Am I in the wrong place that God wants me to be? Somehow God lets us understand that. Just seven simple things this morning, complex for God, but simple to understand that he is God. And the verse says, with God, all things are possible. You may look at your life and say, where do I fit in? What does God want me to do? I positively can make this statement. God wants you to know far more than you want to know. And if you ever get to the place where you say, thy will be done, let me know what it is and I'll do it, he'll tell you. And if he hasn't told you what he wants you to do, it's because you haven't come that way yet. God wants us. And he'll change anything he needs to change. And don't plan your life out too far on your own terms. Let God orchestrate in your life. He's got a place for every one of us. A position. Maybe just a prayer warrior. Maybe faithful. We had a memorial service yesterday for Sister Natalie Meese. I preached a message about her faithfulness. Now remember, she is very faithful. Faithful, one of the most faithful people I've ever known. And God is really, really big on faithfulness. As a young boy, going to church all my life, my grandparents on both sides. And as I recall, and I have a pretty good memory, thank the Lord, and I don't recall one time that my mother, my father, my grandparents ever said to me, now Roy, you need to be faithful. They didn't have to. I just watched their life. I tried to trot in the same footsteps. And when Sunday morning came around, no questions asked. If my brother and I were breathing, we were candidates for the house of God. And we walked 2 miles until we got our first automobile. And that's probably about 10 or 11 when that happened. Faithfulness. You know, and God mentions in his word, faithful, 77 verses. 79 verses. And the word faithfulness, he mentions 19 times. You know, the first time God used the word faithful, when he told Israelites about Moses. And he said, Moses, my faithful servant. So if you're faithful, God puts you in the same category of Moses. And then we looked at the fact that when you're faithful, people notice, sinners notice, and faithfulness on your part to do what God wants you to do will lead others, your children and grandchildren, to want to do what he wants. It worked for me. I'm big on faithfulness because my father and mother taught me that by their action. And God's looking at you and he's looking at me. When we're faithful, Marie was faithful. Zacharias learned to be faithful. Angel Gabriel, of course, was faithful. And Joseph was faithful to his wife that he had not known yet. But the question for us this morning is not just the details in the Word of God about how he arranged it, but your own life. He's arranging your life and mine. Are we found faithful? We are. There's nothing impossible with the Lord. Would you stand this morning? Come to the piano, the organ, play what God wants you to play. The altar's open. A time of worship, a time of giving honor and praise to him, to learn more about him. And as we're learning more about him, we're learning more about ourselves, aren't we? Because we know we have been chosen to represent him in this time. If you see the world's condition, and we do a little bit, I'm amazed that God could use me in any way. But then nothing is impossible with God. God's got all figured out. Things to pray for this morning, your children, grandchildren. Maybe not following the Lord like they ought to. Maybe you aren't following the Lord like you ought to. Maybe you have never bowed and confessed that he is Lord and you need to surrender your life and get saved. Whatever the need, opportunity to come and bow. Say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do what you want me to do, but you already declared nothing is impossible. Work it out. Here I am. And it'll be concerning surrounding the house of God. Thousands of ways I keep finding them every time I preach. It's another way. He proves that point. Anything worth anything. And it's God that determines the worth of it. And you look at your life and say, well, that's not worth anything. You're not the one that determines the worth of it. God's the one that puts evaluation on the worth of things. Would you come? And they are. Lord Jesus, thank you for your living word, for your divine word, your wonderful principles. How you made declaration, defined it, declared it, and told the details of it, Father, many, many times. Now, not that we could just understand how you arrange things, but it helps us understand you arrange in our lives. We can't be like Zacharias. We have to be like Mary. I don't understand it, Lord, but you declared it, let it be. I love you, Jesus. We come. We give reverence. We give thanks. Everything is as well with us as it is. Be with those prayer requests, those people hurting, those people that's in sin. Forgive her sins, mistakes, blunders, failures. Help us be what you want us to be. In the lovely name of Jesus, we humbly pray. Amen.